Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? If you all can kneel, please do so. We're going to be praying. Please bow your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for blessing us this holy Sabbath day. Thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day that you bless us each and every week. Thank you, Father, for helping us to go through any trials that you only allow because you loved us and to help us grow from the trial. Thank you for helping us to have the desire to keep your commandments. Thank you for loving us, your mercy and long suffering towards us because we are so unworthy of your grace. Please bless our prayer request that we place in the room only with accordance to your will. And please bridle my tongue and all the tongue that may speak on your behalf in this Sabbath day, that you only in the Godhead family are glorified this day. We love and praise the Godhead family, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus our King and Commander in these last days, we pray. Amen. Today is December 17, 2022. This is the continuation of our part 2 series of To Call Sin by Its Name. To call sin by its name is not to make our God to look like a tyrant, but just the purpose of separating the practice of iniquity while we proclaim to be followers of Christ. To be follower of Christ is to completely stop sinning. Not a single drop of sin, not a single drop of fermented wine or false doctrine will be in our lives. Obedience to the law of God also helps us to bring closer in relationship to Christ. The more we become obedient to the law of God, the more oil we obtain from the Creator. Calling sin by its name is just for the purpose of warning us before the sin is committed, to save us from it, or to save us from the consequences of sin because He loves us. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. This is one of the best proof that the Lord loves humanity. No matter how sinful a man or a woman gets, God always sends a warning before the sin is even committed. And that's the proof that how God is a loving God, our God, and He's not a tyrant. Let not the accuser of the brethren use any of us to accuse God by complaining when any trials come. Sometimes trials happen when there is an iniquity being cherished until one comes to repentance as a correction from God. Instead of murmuring about the trials, inquire of the Lord to see if there is an error on our part. Lamentation chapter 3 verse 39. Lamentation chapter 3 verse 39 says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins." For example, when a woman or a man were healthy in their younger days, they drink a lot, smoke a lot, eat unclean food, and by the time they get to the age of 40s and 50s, all these complications are returning unto them because of the sinful practices, indulgence of perverted appetite is now coming back to them. You know, they're reaping what they sow. And now what happened? God is being blamed for the consequences of their own actions. One may say, why are you doing this to me? Or why is this happening to me? God did not do that to you. God warned you not to eat the things you're not supposed to eat. God warned you not to drink the strong drink or wine. God warned you to obey the laws of health, but despise the commandment of the Lord and go on with your practices. It's not God's fault. And this is why, by dwelling and meditating on the law of God and His Word daily, in Christ alone, we can conquer every temptation. Satan will throw any thought in our minds that violates all the commandments of God. But the Godhead family will not suffer the commandments, fearing children, to be swallowed by temptation. When we hear temptation in our head, and because when we study the Word of God daily, the Lord will remind us in a split second against the temptation of the enemy, whatever he whisper, whatever commandment breaking whisper that you heard. The Lord will send you the perfect verse to counterattack that. And you are wondering why that is happening, because the Lord knows. The Lord can see everything. The Lord sees that the enemy is whispering on our ears. And when we do our part, the Lord will send His Word to protect us. And the only reason why an individual is defeated is when he or she made the decision to ignore God's warning. James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The person who commits sin knows that he is in sin, but do it anyway, or about to enter into sin. He cannot say, "Oh, I did not know that, but I had to enter anyway." There has to be some kind of warning before, some kind of conscience that will come to his mind before committing the sin. The Lord will send His reminder to us, brothers and sisters, of what we have read in His Word to help us fight the enemy's temptations. For he can see everything, but the enemy cannot see everything. The enemy cannot read our minds, only our Creator can do it. For the follower of Christ, one of the best promises here is 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Brothers and sisters, sometimes we have different trials in our lives. We have different situations where one of us can be strong in that area, and the other brother or sister will be strong in the area that you're not, that you are weak. And there's a reason why we are to help each other when we know our brothers and sisters are suffering or having any trials, like cannot get out of sin. And the reason why we are experiencing those type of experiences is because the Lord knows we can handle it if we are going to rely on Him and not on ourselves. And also, family relationships have been ruined by Satan, as when some members of the family call sin by its name. For example, what happened in 2 years ago, like family members who are strong in the faith, supposed to be, was split by the enemy. When a family member calls sin by its name, but the guilty relative refused to repent, therefore they left the church and attacked their former church, including the relatives of those they used to love. There have been many splits happen over the years in the Seventh-day Remnant Church due to the brothers and sisters standing for what is right in the sight of the Most High God versus those who sympathize with their individuals. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 328, paragraph 2, it says, those who have in the fear of God ventured out to faithfully meet error and sin, calling sin by its right name, have discharged a disagreeable duty with much suffering of feelings to themselves, but they get the sympathy of few and suffer the neglect of many. The sympathizers are on the wrong side, and they carry out the purposes of Satan to defeat the design of God. So those people who sympathize with someone who is in sin and not calling the sin by its name will be used by Satan as a medium. And by not listening to God's instruction and warnings in regard to this, they will have strong delusion that they are still doing right. They will think that they are still safe and doing the right thing. And that's a dangerous ground. And some of us lose families, lose family relationships, lost a lot of friends. But the Lord brought us all together from different parts of the world, different backgrounds, with the same mind. And that is the mind of Christ. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, 329, paragraph 1. It says, reproofs always hurt human nature. Many are the souls that have been destroyed by the unwise sympathy for their brethren. For, because the brethren sympathized with them, they thought they must indeed have been abused, and that the reprover was all wrong and had a bad spirit. So, before we continue, have you ever experienced this? Have you ever experienced that every time we're trying to correct the wrong, we're always the bad guys, we're always the bad ones, but we're just trying to obey what the Lord is commanding us to do? We always say that we are the holy ones, acting like holy, but we are still in sin, but we are just trying to do what is commanded of us to do by God. Continuing, the only hope for sinners in Zion is to fully see and confess their wrongs and put them away. Those who step in to destroy the edge of sharp reproof that God sends, saying that the reprover was partly wrong and the reproof was not just right. Please the enemy. Any way that Satan can devise to make the reproofs of none effect will accomplish his design. Some will lay blame upon the one whom God has sent with a message of warning saying, he is too severe. And in doing so, they become responsible for the soul of the sinner whom God desired to save, and to whom, because he loved him, he sent correction that he might humble his soul before God and put his sins from him. These false sympathizers will have an account to settle with the master by and by for their work of death. It is such a dangerous ground to be in, brothers and sisters, especially when someone is being corrected about the dress reform, the diet. These are the two things, one of the two important things that a lot of people are leaving the truth behind, leaving the church, because they cannot take the reproof and instruction. And they fight against the instruction of God. When God sends someone to instruct them to dress properly, to eat properly, it's for their own good. But they do not understand that. By not obeying God's instruction, instead of becoming humble, pride is being cultivated, thinking that they're on the right. They can make their own decision instead of God's decision. To call sin by its right name is to obey the instruction from the Lord and to be obedient watchmen. Ezekiel chapter 17 verse 17 to 19, it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So, brothers and sisters, most of the time, it is hard to just warn others, let's say in a classroom, or in a secular job setting, especially when everyone around us is doing the same type of sin. Like, for example, taking God's name in vain by using his name as an expression or a cross word. How can we be used by God to correct the error? It is not easy to correct a drunkard or a blasphemer on the spot while the sin is being committed. If you be around people and everybody is speaking vanity, how do we correct this? As our Lord Jesus Christ set an example for us to follow while being friendly and showing love to all the people that were in sin, but not to join them in their sin. So how do we approach them while sin is being committed? Psalm 39 verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. While the wicked is before me. So before we correct the individuals who are in error, inquire of the Lord on how to approach certain individuals in different settings, to ask Him to put the words in your mouth. And His perfect timing will come to pass to correct the person who needs correction. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." So this verse alone can give us proof that the Lord will put the words in our mouth when His timing comes. So it's Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 20 and 21. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 20 and 21 says, "Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, and the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." So brothers and sisters, this chapter, this verse 20 and verses 20 and 21, it will be a lot easier to correct the one who knows the truth than someone who doesn't. So if we don't correct the one, let's say one of our church members is committing a sin that they should not be committing, he or she is not supposed to commit, We are to correct that individual because of the truth that they already know. And it will be a lot easier for someone like that compared to an unbeliever. Because the Lord laid all the foundation and proper steps in His Word on how to correct us when we sin against Him, and to help us learn to obey God's law. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." The Lord Jesus magnified the law when He did a sermon at the mount. When one hates his neighbor, he will be committing murder in his heart. When one commits adultery by simply looking at a woman to lust after her, will commit adultery in his heart. How much more when professed follower of Christ knew the commandments of God to the very letter, even memorize that verse, and commit the act of adultery? When one or two, for example, ask for the pictures in a group chat to see what everyone looks like, for the most part, we don't send pictures of our brethren and sisters as to protect each other. If we are in a group chat for one purpose, and that is to behold Jesus, to read His Word, to talk about His character, to emulate His character, for the edification of one another's character, to copy Christ's character, there is nothing wrong with seeing brethren or sisters' pictures. But can you assure to yourself before God that you will not be lusting when the pictures appear right before your eyes? Or are you looking for a spouse? That's why you're asking for pictures. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 25, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." If you see any pictures of a sister, or if anybody are post pictures and not supposed to be dressed in a way, please correct them in a Christ-like manner. If you're a brother who sees it, talk to one of the sisters to correct the sisters. Or if a sister sees it, talk to one of the brothers and let the brother correct a brother to call sin by its name, but in a proper way, that they may not be offended. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, page 450, verse 3. 450, paragraph 3, I'm sorry. Not all who profess to keep the commandments of God possess their bodies in sanctification and honor. The most solemn message ever committed to mortals has been entrusted to these people, and they can have a powerful influence if they will be sanctified by it. They profess to be standing upon the elevated platform of eternal truth, keeping all of God's commandments. Therefore, if they indulge in sin, if they commit fornication and adultery, their crime is of tenfold greater magnitude than is that of the classes I have named, who do not acknowledge the law of God as binding upon them. In a peculiar sense, do those who profess to keep God's law dishonor Him and reproach the truth by transgressing its precepts. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, page 451, paragraph 1. It was the prevalence of this very sin, fornication, among ancient Israel, which brought upon them the signal of the signal manifestation of God's displeasure. His judgment then followed close upon their heinous sin. Thousands fell, and their polluted bodies were left in the wilderness. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed, of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest ye fall. For some individuals that will take this course, the Lord will surely send warning because of His love, and it is up to the individuals to listen to the small voice or not. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. When you know that there is a high chance for you to be committing sin, put the appearance of evil away before it consumes you like a fire. If you have relatives or even best friends, they're keeping you in bondage of sin or trying to make you sin. Explain to them why you don't go in certain places. Explain to them why you don't do certain things anymore. That you are following Christ now, and not the old, not the former selves of you. No, not your former selves, rather. It is time to take it to God and ask Him to help us to conquer these fierce temptations. Those who plan on sinning, though they know it is sin against the Lord, will be found out. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Say the Lord God, do not I feel heaven and earth, said the Lord. So brothers and sisters, it is better to call out sin by its name and abhor it than conceal a sin and be found out later. With that, I hope and pray that you are blessed this Sabbath day. There will be one music, and the next voice you shall hear will be of Brother Sean. Sabbath blessings.